Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back again. You're with Dr. Harris. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show here tonight. We are rocking and rolling and rocking just one more time. This is how we do it here on the West Coast. It's been a long day. At least for me it has. It's been a long day. And we just kind of glad it's kind of ending right now. I mean, it's just been a lot going on. Seem like here in America from day in to day out. I don't know. I don't know what to say right now about what's going on here in America and really just what's going on all over the world. You know, we have, let's see, 2020, we're going to be having the election for the president again. I believe next March, we're going to be having the mayor race here in Fresno, which a lot of us know that Chief Jerry Dyer is running for mayor, which is very interesting. I guess he has every right to run for mayor as anybody else. But it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to turn out. But anyway, we wasn't able to get on the show last night. Time kind of got by me. And so, you know, tonight we're here on tonight's show. Somebody's saying something here. President Unified School Board meeting tomorrow starts at 6, closed session at 4 p.m. Oh, okay. Thank you for that info. We need that good information. Thank you for that information. So there's a school board meeting tomorrow at Fresno Unified. I believe it says closed session is at 4. The board meeting starts at, I believe I read, 6 o'clock. So for those of you that can get out there, please get out to the school board meeting tomorrow. I think that, I believe that was Jessica, I believe, who couldn't read the, I don't have my light on right now. But thank you for telling me that information. That's the type of information we need to let the community know, you know, how to stay engaged in what's going on here in Fresno. And that's one of the problems that we have right now, especially in the African-American community, is that many of us complain, but a lot of us are not going to do anything. And when I say do anything, I'm talking about direct action, getting in the streets, protesting, being consistent, being transparent. And so, you know, it's just, you know, I've been doing civil rights work for about 37 years now here in Fresno, so there's really nothing new under the sun with me. But a lot of people like me, there's some people don't like me, there's some people love me, there's some people that hate me. But whatever the reason is, I believe that out of the 37 years, I've never been sued for defamation of character. Never ended up in a wrongful lawsuit or anything like that. So, which gives credit to me and my team that we do our research before we speak. We know what we're talking about. But anyway, you know, I was going through Facebook today, and I came across but before I say that, I wanted to give a moment of silence for, it's the anniversary of the four little girls who were blown up in a church, I believe it was in Alabama. And I just wanted to give a moment of silence to those four children. If you could just give a moment of silence. Thank you so much. I just wanted to honor the four little babies who were blown up in a church in Alabama, I believe it was in the 1960s, by the Ku Klux Klan and the U.S. government. And I spoke to my congregation this Sunday about the four little girls and not to forget about them, that they life was lost for the struggle. And, of course, the parents, the community, even today, you know, it bothers me to even talk about it because I'm just trying to, I can't imagine my son or my grandkids being blown up in anything. And so, but times is, you know, it's a bad time in history. History is still bad. During the 1960s is something that we're going to talk about. And I, one of my friends in crime who is on the line right now grew up during that era of the 1960s, I believe, if I'm correct. She was living in San Francisco or vice versa, going back and forth to Oakland. She remember the Black Panther Party office. I believe she said she even talked to some of the Black Panther Party's leadership during that time. You know, Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Elvis Cleaver. And, you know, what's interesting about the Black Panther Party is that, you know, anything that's black, I'm going to put this disclaimer, anything that's of black and of consciousness here in America, especially Fresno, the government is going to come and destroy you. It has a track record of it. It has destroyed everything that black people have built in this country. It has destroyed all of our towns. Now, I'm talking about the U.S. government and the Ku Klux Klan working in conjunction and partnership and collaboration to destroy. I'm talking about the leadership of the government that willfully, intentionally, assassinated all of the black freedom fighters here in America. Now, 1960 is not long ago. I mean, you get a lot of you think, well, that must happen 200, 300, 400, 500 years. No, that wasn't long ago. That was just right around the corner. I mean, you know, Dr. King negotiated with Lyndon Johnson to sign the voting rights bill for black people to vote. I mean, you have to understand that black people are the only people on this planet that has a voting right bill. Nobody else but us. Now, I could be wrong, and if I am wrong, I stand to be corrected. But I do know that black people at one point in time in this country was looked upon as 3/5 of a human being. Right next, I mean, you could set me right next to a dog, an elephant, a giraffe, and I'm equal to that. We also have to understand that the white man had created the first human zoo. And he said, wait a minute, Dr. Harris, what do you mean a zoo? No, I'm talking about like Rodin Park. I'm like, go down to Rodin Park here in Fresno and picture the giraffe as me, or picture giraffe as one of your black friends, and just imagine all the animals that are black people and white people are coming to patronize and look at our naked women and all. See, so, you know, it's interesting to me how people have amnesia, and you think that black people are supposed to walk around here with smiles on their faces just because you have allowed some of them to get in corporate America, some of them, but then you handpick those who you want to get in corporate America. You handpick those who you want to work for Fresno Unified. You handpick those who you want to work at the Fresno Police Department. You have, I mean, you go way out of town and recruit people from other states to come in here in Fresno to work when we have people right here, because you understand that the people that live here knows the temperature of the community. So it's better to go get someone way from Chicago, way from New York, way from Atlanta, and bring them, and then you pay to bring them out here. You give them, you pay their travel and to move all their furniture here, just so that you will not hire people here in Fresno who knows the community, who knows the children in our district, but it's more better for you to hold that person hostage, because if they don't do what you say, then you're going to fire them and send them back home. So that person who you hired from out of state has a noose around their neck. I'm just keeping it 100 tonight. I'm just keeping it 100 tonight. And so now, you know, we have the Black Panther Party who, I mean, look at EOC right now. EOC, look at the whip. They got all that from the Black Panther Party. Okay?
Yeah.
All that came from the Black Panther Party. And so, you know, I put up some content on the board tonight so that, you know, you could read it at your leisure, dissect it if you like. I mean, get some friends and family to, you know, read it and, you know, see what it's about. But, you know, I wasn't born until 1970, so I missed it all. Okay? I missed it all, but I can read it. But what I can tell you is that the Black Panther Party was independent, self-sufficient, disciplined, knew the Constitution that the white man wrote for themselves, not for us, because the U.S. Constitution, there was no black people around the table when it was made. Matter of fact, if there was any black people, we were bringing people water and some food. But we had nothing to do with the U.S. Constitution when it was created, that people say the forefathers. Well, they're not my forefathers in the first place. But if you want to call them your forefathers, that's your business. My point is that everything that black people have made, took credit for, built, has all been destroyed by the white power structure. And today, look who is in control. The white power structure. Look at 45. Look what he's doing. I mean, look what he's doing. I mean, everybody talked about Obama. You know, I get it. Obama could have did more for black people. But God damn it, 45 ain't doing nothing for black people and a whole bunch of other folk. Okay? I mean, so, you know, I get kind of wound up with this, because I keep hearing people say, oh, pull yourself up from your bootstraps. Pull yourself up from the bootstraps. Well, damn it, we ain't got no boots. The boots were stolen, too. And then they talk about put your boots on. We got mismatched boots. We got boots. We got no shoestrings. I mean, so, you know, I was driving today, and I was thinking about, I was looking at all this farmland, right? And I said to myself, wow, look at all the beneficiary white farmers here in this San Joaquin Valley, who parents benefited from the slaves of creating the farms, but yet when we were given land by the U.S. government and et cetera, it was taken back and stolen back from us. So we're always behind the damn eight ball. Every time we turn around, we're behind the eight ball. You go down to Tulare, a brother who's the first mayor in Tulare, and he's on Facebook, a messenger, talking to somebody that I believe now, you know, that was the enemy, who took his message, and he said, i.e., that the farmers here in the valley could reduce the asthma if they wanted to. He said, but they don't want to, because that means spending money. But who gives a hell about little black and brown people here in the San Joaquin Valley? Well, maybe Cesar Chavez did. He's about the only one, because he was out there trying to change, you know, policy and make sure that they have good living conditions. Well, you're right. That's what he's supposed to do. But the farmers have a moral responsibility to do, but they don't want to do it because they don't want to cut into their profit to buy the right machinery to reduce asthma. So you know what they did?
Right.
Let me tell you what they did to this brother. Because he told the truth, he got lynched. Every farmer from Sacramento all the way down to the Grapevine, they all went to Tulare, California, and they unseated him because he told the truth on the white farmers. Now, when you get lynched telling the truth, it's really bad. It's really bad. And what's even worser, no black organization came to that brother aid. Not the NAACP, not LCLC. I was out of the state when all this went on. Because if I was here, you best believe I would have been down there. So we're sitting in a melting pot right now. And I think that the Black Panther Party has the blueprint. I think the Black Panther Party has the antidote. I think the Black Panther Party did lay the foundation for us to go back and just copycat what they did. That's all we got to do. Just copycat.
Right.
We can't even be good copycatters as black people today. Lazy as we is, we should be good copycatters. And I mean, the Black Panther Party laid this whole program out, the 10-point platform of liberation, justice, and freedom. Police their own community.
They
didn't need no police to police their community. There was police in the police because the police was coming and abusing them. But then look what happened. When the Black Panther Party was sat there and read the U.S. Constitution and said, oh, this white man could come in here with these cops, these racist Klan cops, and come in here and shoot up our women, shoot up our children, shoot up our office, shoot up everything they want to just because of the color of our skin. And then you had Jared Hoover behind it with the FBI and the intelligence. Wiretapping, sending in informants and all that type of stuff just
Point
to
Hill
destroy
Pro.
And take down the Black Panther Party, COINTEL, all that stuff, all because they read the Constitution and said, white man, if you have a right to carry a gun, we have a right to carry a gun. And they went to the Sacramento West Steps and read their memorandum, and it was a shootout that day. See, family, you all got to understand that black people is the most hatedest people on this planet. They didn't like your ancestors. Now, why in the hell they should like you? Now, let me put this disclaimer out there. You say, there go Reverend Harris again saying all white people. No, I'm not saying all white people. I'm saying if the shoe fit, wear it. That's what I'm saying. So you know if I'm talking about you or not. You figure out if I'm talking about you or not. So I'm not saying all white people because let me put this out there like this. I got some white friends right now, got more backbone than black people here in Fresno. And all I have to do is call them and they'll be right there. So don't come up to me talking about Harris or talking about all white. I ain't saying all white people. I'm saying the shoe fit wear it. But I got some white friends that'll bust your bubble. Where black people, I would think, will stand with me, they running. So we're at a melting pot. Just like to welcome everybody to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We're here talking about the Black Panther Party, the breakfast program, both inspired and threatened the U.S. government. Like to welcome Aileen Reed to our show. She grew up during that time.
Hey,
in the Barry. Just like to get her perspective on what she's seen, how she felt during that time, and what does she see now, and how does she feel, and what do we need to do moving forward? Just like to thank all of those who are tuning in to our show tonight, live stream. Just thank you for, I mean, if you just own for 30 seconds or a minute, I just want to thank you for just taking the time out to listen to us, because you know me, I speak truth to power. I'm not scared of anything but God, and I love my people, and even the ones that don't love me, I still love them because I'm supposed to. Talk to us, Aileen. You was there. You was on ground zero.
I was.
You heard the gunfire. You seen the cops.
Yeah.
You seen Panther Party office shot up. Walk us through that time back in the 1960s.
Well, I'll tell you, Rev, I was a youngster in the 60s. It was established, the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, which is the full name of the organization, was established in 1966. I was born in 58, so I was a little kid, but I had teenage cousins and cousins in their early 20s who were members of the Panthers. I had friends, family friends who were friends with my cousins who were Panthers. I just want to say I didn't actually meet Bobby Seale or Huey P. Newton or Eldridge Cleaver, but I also had first cousins who were members of the Black Muslims. So I got a different perspective, childhood, from what a lot of little kids would get. And there was a lot going on in the Bay Area in San Francisco in 1966, and people want to, you know, the government wanted to paint the Panthers as a bunch of thugs, Rev, and that is the farthest thing from the truth that could happen. Bobby Seale and Huey Newton were students at San Francisco State University when they met each other and decided to put together the Panther Party. So they were not thugs, they were students. And they were two young men who were tired of seeing the Black community being harassed and terrorized by San Francisco PD and Oakland PD. So what they did was they got a group together. They had a 10-point program. These young men solidified a community in such a way that they published their own paper, the Black Panther. And they had articles, they had artwork, they had the whole thing to inform people about what was happening in the Black community, the same way that the Black Muslims did with Muhammad Speaks. Now that newspaper is called The Final Call. So I just want to say that there are some of us who grew up around Panthers, and you couldn't just walk in off the street and say, yo, I love Black people, I want to be a Panther. They would give you a reading list. Okay, you had to read the Little Red Book from Chairman Mao. You had to read Franz Fanon, Wretched of the Earth. You had to read and be informed and be conscious before they'd even let you in. And then if you didn't meet that criteria, they didn't just turn you away. They work with you. Okay, you got problems reading. Let's sit down and talk about what these books are about. And so they taught as well as they fought for our equality and freedom. They were the first cop watch in America. They were patrolling neighborhoods and taking down cop badges and names and all of that when they would see Black people pulled over. That was very empowering for me as a little kid. I remember getting kicked out of my elementary school, which has been since torn down. It was called Farragut Elementary in San Francisco in the 60s. I got kicked out of school for saying the Black Panther Pledge instead of the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, you're a little kid. This is like, but you understood that this was about your people, that these men and women who were Black Panthers were trying to protect you and keep you safe. They were not thugs. So, Rev, I had a chance this morning to read what was posted about the breakfast program. And what a lot of people don't understand is when that breakfast program started in Chicago, Chicago PD went in, broke into their facility, tore up all the food, urinated on the food where it couldn't be served, and the Panthers had to go back and replace all that food so the children could have breakfast and meet their schedule and all that. I don't know if that happened the same day or the next day, but what I'm saying is that they did not give up. And they expanded their community and social justice work by starting sickle cell anemia clinics and other kind of food giveaways and shoe giveaways. A lot of people don't know that they have shoe giveaways as well. But it made such an impact, this having breakfast for the children in the morning that the superintendent of Chicago schools, people who read the article that you posted will see this, went down and had to tell them it made all the difference, that the kids were more alert, that their stomachs weren't cramping because they were hungry. And so this was a good thing that now EOC and WIC and programs like that have sprung from, but you won't hear that in history books. They don't teach that in school. You have to get that from our own oral history. And so, as you say, Rev, we have the blueprints. We have everything that we need to protect and empower our own people if only we would do it. And this is especially crucial in an area like the Central Valley, which is one of the reasons why you, myself, Sister Maria Ells, is putting together the Progressive Black Summit that's happening October 26th and 27th, because we want progressive-minded people, black people, to come with solutions about how to make it better for black people living in the Central Valley and really throughout California, because we are under siege, people. We're under siege. So I want to thank you, Reverend Harris, for letting me come on the show and talk about the Panthers, because Lord knows I love these brothers and sisters, and we need them now more than ever.
We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. We're here talking about the historical Black Panther Party, who did a lot for the black community, and then was targeted by the U.S. government to be destroyed and murdered. We know at the time that our good buddy Ronald Reagan was the governor of California.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one who pushed the bill, the policy for black people not to open carry, while at the same time he allowed the roguish cops to continue to come in and murder the Black Panther Party. See, the Black Panther Party wasn't going out murdering people like the police was, Oakland PD and many police departments across the country. Mm-hmm. It was the U.S. government that went in to destroy our freedom fighters, brothers and sisters. And so, you know, in the Freedom School here in Fresno that I founded, you know, this is the type of information, this is the type of teaching that we give our students, so that they will understand that there are people who come before them who have bled, who have died, who have passed the baton to us so that history won't repeat itself. What I don't understand, and maybe we can have a caller or someone call in at 563-999-3490 and explain to me, how is it that we go from black men and black women mentoring our children to now we have police officers mentoring our children? I just like to get folks' perspective on that, you know, pro or con, for or against, that is it okay for police officers to mentor our children?
I know you probably got callers. I just want to find out, because you posed an interesting question, and I need it in context. Like, what is the thinking behind the police mentoring our children? Is it so that they can control the mindset of these children to be more subservient and just do whatever an authority figure says? Or is it just to build community relations? That's all I wanted to tack on to that before you take any callers.
Well, I think
what's behind the police doing it?
I think that's a great question. I think that the police ideology, philosophy, that was in the 1960s is still here today in 2019. Not just here in Mississippi, Fresno, but across the country. I think that the police department, because so you have to understand where police come from. And many people don't talk about this. People don't talk about where police first originated from. Police first originated from was from slavery. It was called slave patrol, where the plantation master would go out and catch slaves.
Wow, patrollers, yeah.
To catch the ones that were disobedient. They actually had a badge that said slave patrol. I seen the badge. It said slave patrol, and it looked like a star.
Wow.
It had slave
patrol.
Now, we have to understand, during Black Wall Street in 1921, Tulsa, Oklahoma, that we didn't have a black police department. There was no such thing as a black police department.
Right.
The only police department was white folk carrying their guns, intimidating black folk. So the cops would cross the track and go over into the black community and police our community and then go back to their community. Okay, so now watch this. Spirit is talking. So the Black Panther Party did the same concept.
Yes.
We're going to create our own police department, and we're going to police our own community. We're not going to police your community. We're going to police our own community. You see what happened here?
Yes.
The white cops wanted to police their community and the black community in 1921. You fast forward to 1960s, our conscious black men and women said, look, read the U.S. Constitution. Malcolm said it best. He said the worst thing could have happened to a white man, let me read his history book. So the U.S. Constitution was written by them. It wasn't written by us. So Huey P. Newton and all of them sat down around a table saying, okay, well, we have the right to bear arms. So we're going to police our own community. We ain't going to police their community. But then the white cops went in their community and assassinated all of them.
Yes, that's true.
We have a caller here. I'm trying to see if I can bring him in. Okay, let's see what I can do here. Caller 5722. You have a comment?
First off, normally I actual introduction, but man, you've been on fire. Since the beginning of the times, we've always had a wool pulled over our eyes. And one thing that you did so is these drugs is more than just the actual physical drugs of cocaine, weed, heroin, or whatever, which one. It's the spirit drug, and that's breaking our spirit and breaking the fight for us to digest knowledge and information. Now, we don't have grandma on the switchboard where it's like if something go on in Los Angeles, you didn't know about it if you were living in St. Louis. I was born in Cleveland. When Ice Cube talk about a young man summer vacation on that song, when he said my nigga got shot, he's a cornerback. St. Louis niggas want their cornerback. That happened in Cleveland, four doors down from where I live. I was carried in the KATZ. It's a radio network before Magic 101.8. But one thing I want to say to the brother that's holding down this platform. The wisdom is lost because we're not sharing it no more. There's no such thing as a campfire. There's no such thing as elders and mentors. We have no filter. So at the end of the day, because we have no filter, back in the day you had to have a rite of passage. Now you can put out an app at 2 o'clock and you become a millionaire. And the people that's been doing it for 20 years just get pissed off. So what you're doing right now with Huey and them, police the neighborhood, you're policing the internet. And it's a kind of different kind of police because it's a spiritual policing. But I got 300 winning team members, and I've been pastoring 12 years. I live in 40 out of 50 states. My first sale was a Lionel Richie LP. It was said promotional use only. It's called Dancing on the Ceiling. Number one record. You know what I'm saying? I sold it to car wash when I was 10. I'm 41 now. So I understand what you're saying. What's going on is they took the music out of schools. They took the prayer out of schools. They took the belt away from the parents. So now you can't even chastise your kids. So when the kids don't get right, we can't go forward. And at the end of the day, Whitney Houston was found in a tub and her daughter got murdered the same way. If you're doing something that's a positive, they're always going to murder you, Nipsey. And my thing is, let me give you your flowers right now, because I don't know if something's going to happen to me. I don't know if something's going to happen to you, but I'd rather give you flowers while you're here as opposed to blowing my mind at the funeral. You know what I'm saying? I'm dead. I can't appreciate it, but you keep pressing like you're pressing, because you are right, man. When it was all said and done, Huey and them, they had an idea. We do have the right to bear arms, but at the end of the day, people are alarmed with black men with information, and that right there, it's not them having weapons. Guns don't kill people. It's people with, who's informed on how to use those guns, break them down, tear them down, water, dry fire, hot fire, whatever. My daddy was in the Army. I know a lot about guns. I've done drive-bys, but at the end of the day, I'm not glorifying what I did. I'm saying that there's a different mode to a whole nother life of what we're doing. Everybody has something to bring to this table. And a lot of times, us being a body, we forget about our toes that close up the whole situation. You can have a great neck and a great head, but if your toes are jacked up, you're going to fall over every time. If your legs don't work, you can't move. So I just love what you're bringing to the table and to the sister. It's hard to be around mighty men of God and they don't serve God the way that everybody wanted them to serve God. You can't put God in a box, and people don't realize, yes, I'm a pastor, but I put my pants on one leg at a time. I might want to be the best pastor in the world. You can buy me 30 cars, but I can only put my butt in one seat and drive a car at one setup. And I don't even like to drive, you know. So if people don't think about the realistic situations, but I've also been that pastor that got $50 worth of Popeye's chicken his first Sunday mission. And I don't care what's going on. We having a meeting. All y'all homeless people, y'all can't eat. Walking right past y'all, y'all smell it. Y'all can't touch nothing. We going there and have this meeting. I'm guilty of it. I'm not going to lie. God is dealing with me, but as God deal with me, I will be your president in 2024. I appreciate this platform for me being able to bear my soul and bear witness to say 100% this is the true word, anointed, appointed, and aligned. That's God's highway. That's my AAA. That's y'all AAA. I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I cuss, I smoke, and I drink. If I jump in front of one of these cars, they run me over. So I can't lie about what I did, and I can't wait for all my dirty laundries to come out. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to be talking about what the other people are doing, because they're going to spend all their energy on that and their campaign money. I'm going to talk about putting money back into the community. My campaign is going to be different. When I go to these communities, I'm not taking none out of community. If you have $1,000 plate lunching with me, that $1,000 go back in the community. I'm going to do something different. I don't need to have a note on the ballot. The people gonna write me in, and that's it. So I love y'all. I'm here.
So you running for office, brother?
Yes, ma'am. In 2024, I live in 40 out of 50 states. Well, my issue is information, education. Y'all, everything that y'all omit and live. The whole difference is, I've been in jail with the Chicanos. And,
I understand, brother. I'm just trying to understand what are you running for. So if you're saying
President
people didn't write
in. States, the whole. I never had a public office before, but one thing I do know is people. And one thing that I've had a great situation, and this might sound crazy, I've lost so much and by helping so many people. I made a lot of millionaires, and listening to what y'all do and how y'all get down, I need to put 400 companies on with Walmart sponsorship, 300 companies on the stock market. In order to be on the stock market, you got to yield $250,000 liquid cash in your bank account for 12 months, and that's net, not gross. That means after you paid everybody, you brought people they daycare and all that other stuff. People have stuff that comes up, so when they need their rent pay, you got to have a different kind of benevolent fund. That's why Google is one of the most top-rated companies. They're paying people 13 to $18 an hour to listen to these radio shows to actually, when we say four, when they go on voice recognition software, it says four. That's like a $70 trillion a year industry, and most people, we not typing no more on keyboards. People run around with $20,000 computers. So we're understanding all this technology, being in business for over 21 years, helping Barack Obama get elected, Tito Jackson get his first situation, and signing some real fucked up non-disclosure agreements as a kid. I'm at a point like, okay, y'all got me. I could have been having more money, and I'm over here hungry, and my ribs are touching because I didn't play the game. And now that I understand the way the game is played, Pac said he was going to spark the brain to change the world. I'm Neo in the Matrix. All I can do is free the right people, but it's not about freeing the people. It's about making people free on their brands, business, product, service, image, likeness, and this content that we put out on social media every day on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and a whole lot of other places that we need to get paid for. But if you don't know the information on how and the education on how to get paid, you're wasting your time. So you might sit on Facebook and a person got bitcoins, and because you like insurance and then reposting all their stuff, they over here getting paid off for you. They won't even tell you Happy Thanksgiving. They send you a turkey and a thumbs up. And what the fuck is a thumbs up? Do you mean you understand or you got something to say? So I'm saying to you like this. I'm going to be the realest president to ever walk this earth. And I'm one of these kind of situations that Barack Obama laid out the situation, and Mr. 45 opened up the door. He threw me the best out of you. Whoever y'all vote for in 2020, I'm not mad at. In 2024, I'm spending 3 years. The first year, right now, I'm showing people how to get Walmart sponsorship. The next year, going in, I'm going to visit 4,500 radio networks just like y'all. And I'm going to make sure it's real. And when I say it's real, hey, if your network ain't moving, it ain't mad. But I'm here. I'm here to touch you. If my voice was on your radio network over the last 4 years, you're going to see me. I'm coming behind that. Once I'm coming behind that with building 22 abandoned buildings, we're going to gut them. The people that got class E, F, D, felonies, nonviolent. If you rob somebody and beat an old lady, we're not helping you. But if you bounced a check, stole a car, or you did some white collar stuff and you got a degree and you can't get a job because when you go to the background check, it's pass or fail, I'm putting these people to work, and we're going to put a community center out there. We visited Las Vegas, Cleveland, Idaho. It's a lot of places that we're going, but the whole idea is, long as we empower ourselves to help people get out of prison to a situation where they're not on probation, they're not on parole, they got a way to hold themselves, and we got a building and a hub for when people need money. They can't go to the welfare office. They got somewhere to get money from, and we're sending winning team members in there. We 300 strong. That's going to be power, okay? Then we're going to bring it back on a close on a third situation with some major. So my presidency campaign has been already set in motion for many years. I just didn't have the guarantees from my OG calls that I built up. And being on the phone with you guys is telling me that not only am I ready, this is anointed and appointed a line on God's highway. And because y'all putting it out there, Huey is actually jumping in the spirit because he didn't fight for nothing. You know, it's bigger than me. I don't have it all, but I'm empowering people. My goal is, if I got 700 companies, 400 with Walmart sponsorships, which they're doing 5,000, 10,000, and 15, then you go to actual physical distribution. But if I got these 300 companies on the stock market, I got 700 families going to eat for the next 150 years off my efforts. If I win or don't win, no matter what, I did God's business. But I'm not changing who I am. I'm not running away from what it is. Yes, I've been locked up over 45 times. It's my fourth marriage. I'm having a baby on Sunday. But I'm still pressing. Do you feel me?
Well, thank you, my brother. You've inspired me. Well, you know, that's what I said now, is that no disrespect to the older generation, but I feel that we need some new ideas, new blood, new direction, some more fire in our conversation, knowledge. And so, yeah, I'm down with the conversation. We have another caller in right now. Caller 3366. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show.
Hi, it's Maria. Just calling in. I got lost on the live stream, so I had to call in. But the question I heard before was, the police and, and how we feel about them being in our schools, taking over youth centers, and, whether that is, what is the intention and whether it's, even needed or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, because they're getting paid to do this, but so I don't know where the conversation went after that. I just heard the tail end of what the brother was saying. So,
well,
are we still answering that question?
Well, I think that when we first started the show, I would just, Eileen was in Oakland, San Francisco, when all this was taking place. I just kind of gave some history from a standpoint of where police came from, why they existed, all the way up to the 1960s when Dr. King was negotiated with Lyndon Johnson for the Voting Rights Act bill for black people to vote. Up to that point, we had no rights to vote, but at the same time, we fought in this American war, World War I, World War II, everything was the best in everything we did, but yet we were still treated as 3/5 of a human being that was written into their U.S. Constitution, black codes and all of that, moving forward to our ancestors building over 30-something towns here in America, blood, sweat, and tears, which was all burnt down and destroyed by the white Ku Klux Klan and the U.S. government, moving forward to the 1960s, to all of our freedom fighters was assassinated with Colin Powell, J. Edgar Hoover, infiltrating and et cetera. And then Ronald Reagan then disarmed the Black Panther Party, where we didn't have an open carry state. Not that the Black Panther Party was going out killing anyone. They were just protecting what was theirs. And then I told Eileen, I said, don't you find it very interesting how in 1921 that the white police will patrol their neighborhood across the track and patrol the black neighborhood. But in 1960, the Black Panther Party said, we're just going to patrol our neighborhood. To hell with their neighborhood. We're going to patrol ours. But yet, the government went and assassinated them. So that's kind of how we started framing the conversation of the Black Panther Party, adding to everything that they contribute to the WIC, to the breakfast program, feeding the children, educating the children, the 10-point flat program that they created. And I was just saying that the blueprint is there. Why we're not following it? I mean, is it obsolete? Is it old? Is it no good? I mean, what's the problem?
I don't think it's obsolete. I think that people just don't have the moral and political will to follow up and follow through, because you have to have a certain sense of fearlessness if you're going to go up against a white power structure like this country has built. And I just want to put it out there that some people might be old enough to remember, some of the listeners, you and Sister Maria are probably too young for this because you were just getting here, Rev. But in 1970, I believe it was, there was a computer room, a new computer room out of Fresno State that was blown up by black radicals. Now, apparently there were 3 people involved. Only one person got caught. But these were people who were in the spirit of the Black Panther Party, because apparently there were some demands that were made on campus at Fresno State. I don't know what those demands were. They weren't taken seriously. They were ignored. And that was the response to blow up that computer room. So if any of your of the listeners who are out there know about this incident, can confirm what I'm saying, but I believe I remember this correctly, that so there were radicals in Fresno in 1970. People just don't talk about it, but there were some there. And I tip my hat to those courageous brothers and or sisters who did that. Not that I condone blowing up anything and destroying property, but sometimes when people don't listen, you have to shout. So that was their shout out.
Can I speak on that real quick?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. You can Google me as Pastor Don Jr., CEO. And please don't get lazy. I'm not a white man from Florida. It's Pastor D-O-N-J-R, CEO. Okay. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and this is totally my personal belief. I am a pastor, but I'm Donnell Green Jr. Yo, you're right. You are so right. Sometimes you got to whoop ass. If you get bullied every day, I believe that Malcolm X had it right and Martin Luther King both had it right. We got to walk towards the faith, but we can't pray and be getting beat and be in holes at the same time. We got to do it by any means necessary. Now, with what you said, and you said something that really had power, and that's the truth. Somebody has to take a stand, and somebody has to be a pioneer to be there first. Even when they turned the Boston Tea Party over, you know what I'm saying? Somebody said, "Hold on, we got to make a statement." So, with that being said, I know for a fact a family is a family, but a family only works if we only talk about it, and that's what's so important about this show. And I'm sorry, sister, that I speak in parables. You have to listen to the playback on demand. You can go to their blog talk. And if you're in the chat room right now, the call-in number is 563-999-3490. If you're not recorded, you can't be rewarded on the Book of Life. But with that being said, everything you said, it made a lot of sense, because no matter what goes on, somebody had to stand up to tyranny, irony. And the irony of it is we finally got a platform and people are scared to talk. We finally got the power to change the world. But you have to have the idea first. If you don't know how to build a house, you need to watch some YouTube videos. But somebody has to record the content. That's why you got to call in one more time, and I'm going to move out the way. 563-999-3490. Get out of the chat room, call in, get your voice recorded, rewarded, and the Book of Life. I'm moving out the way. Elders, y'all are killing it. I just love the energy here.
Yeah, well, you know, that's I mean, I don't know no other way to do it. I'm a pastor myself, and, you know, I've been doing work in, you know, all over the country. But, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me is just my own perspective here. And I'm trying to figure out how is it that our ancestors, you can go back to, I don't know, 1921 or further, but our ancestors had, I believe, something that we don't have today, and we have something that they didn't have. Okay, so what did we have that they didn't have? Well, they didn't have iPhones, they didn't have laptops, they didn't have Instagram, they didn't have Tweet, they didn't have all that stuff, right? But yet, when you rewind back to the ancestry, they had each other. They had unity. They had trust. They had this. I don't even know what you call it. But that's something that we don't have today. And I'm trying to figure out how you would think that we would have what they have and more. But it's like we have more technology stuff, but yet we have less unity.
We have more convenience,
and we have more technology. So I don't understand that. Maybe it's just me.
It's an H word. It's honor. They had honor back in the day. It was honor amongst thieves. You stole from corporate. You never stole from the people you laid with. And now people shoot each other. Not only do they shoot each other with their words. And I ain't even talking about with a physical gun. See, one thing about you, Elder, the reason why you were blessed is because you understand the wisdom, but you share the knowledge, and people that held the knowledge. And when you hold something, it's like I come in like a tsunami, and people wasn't expected. The most recent hurricane I could think of was Dorian, but the hurricane that changed my life was Hugo in 1989. My father had a TV show, and it changed everything. So with what you're doing and how y'all doing it, y'all got the power, the touch, like in the Transformer movies from 1986 to change the world. The reason why they don't have the honor no more is they took the prayer out of schools, they took the belt from the mama hand, so these kids don't have no fear. And that's what made us strong. The fear and the pain made us strong. That's why you see a lot of people on the Billboard charts that came from the Marcy Projects and all these other projects, because you had to be strong. But now, if anybody can just with a, I hate to say it, and please excuse my French, anybody with they could do that, and I've been guilty of it. I'm powerful enough to work a Pootie Tang record where he says nothing. If you ever watched that movie, Pootie Tang, he had another number one record, and it said nothing. It had nothing. It was nothing in the record. The whole record was nothing. But at the end of the day, when you get to a level, you got to say, okay, if I'm going to be lied to, I'm going into politics. And at the same time, well, I got to make sure my people are going to do the right thing. One presidency. I'm running. Go ahead.
Let me just interject this, brother, because I know that your message is powerful. My grandma used to say that the generations, talking about black people, get weaker but wiser. So we're wiser book smart, we're wiser technology wise, but we're weak in other ways. We're weak in unity. You know, we're weak in unity, and this is something that is we can fix. But I have to say this, and then I'm going to hush. Integration has made us weak. It really has. Integration has made us weak.
Well, we're the only people that, I'm going to be honest with you, everybody want to be black until the red and blue lights show up. Everybody want to be black until the red and blue lights show up. One more time. Everybody want to be black until the red and blue lights show up. My goddaughter, who was white, she got murdered by the police. And when she got murdered, I said, oh, this shit is really real. They killing the white girls. 17, no gun, murderer, right in front of her family. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can Google it. But the whole point, what I'm trying to say to you is, it's not about us as a people. It's about somebody saying, okay, I have these resources. I need to pull them together. Now, the only way unity works is, okay, if 40 people show up to do a job for their community service and nobody know their duty, everybody's getting violated. Everybody goes to jail. 40 families are jacked up. But if you have a director and somebody to guide this energy, that's what it is. Well, because I've been guiding this energy in the wrong light with the media putting out bad records, my daughter, she running around, shake your booty, shake your booty. She doing the booty dance, and she ain't never been in a strip club. She don't even know what a strip club look like. And she's only 3 years old. So, and she's very intelligent. So what I'm saying to you is, I don't blame Cardi B. I blame myself, because before Cardi B, there was Nicki Minaj. Before Nicki Minaj, it was J-Lo. And so on. I'm saying to you, I understand what's going on from knocking on doors. And one thing I do know, y'all need somebody to be able to get in their ear before I get there. That's why I'm on this situation, on this line right now. I've been taking notes. I can't be a mute. Y'all are really dropping real wisdom, and you are right. At the same time, I can't have another barbershop conversation and not do nothing about it. I can't have another ministry conversation and not do nothing about it. And I can't keep looking at CNN and not do nothing about it. When I have the wisdom, the resources, and the actual power to empower people to get to where I need them to have money, and then turn around and take that energy and become president. It's a beautiful day at the office. I'm Russell Crowe in the Gladiator. I'm going to give it back to the Republic, but I got to make sure I got a Republic to give it back to. So with that being said, I don't want to drop the mic. I'm passing it to the OGs, the legends that's on the line with me.
All right. We're about at the end of our show. We just want to thank everybody for calling in and all those that are watching the live stream. Thank our brother for coming in. I'm going to try to give you a call, brother, if I can, and speak with you offline. We just talking about the Black Panther Party, everything that they have contributed to society. young black students in Oakland, California. Very revolutionary, very conscious, love their people, love their community, love their women, love their children. And that's what we pattern the Freedom School behind, you know, each one teach one, knowledge is power. And so I just think that it was, tonight's show has really made me do some internal thinking right now about how I perceive things right now here in Fresno. We know Fresno sits right in the middle of California. It's the breadbasket of the country. It's the 10th worst city for black people to live in the country. It's the second in the nation of poverty. We have statistically rendering plant right in the backyard here in the poverty community to cook dead animals each and every day, smelling a stench. We have police, more black people profiled here, which is only 5% of the population here. And our leadership is quiet, silent. But like I said, there are a group of us here in Fresno, including myself, Aline Maria Els, who speak truth to power. We're not scared. We believe that our ancestors have passed the baton to us today and that we cannot let them down. When there is something wrong, we do not run away. We run to it. And that's just how we get down here in Fresno. Many of you can go to YouTube, put in Reverend Dr. Floyd E. Harris Jr., Reverend Harris, and founder of National Network in Action, well as the Fresno Freedom School here in Fresno. Also, pastor here as well in Fresno. And so we're just here to uplift, to give a platform to our people to call in, to talk about what's on their heart, agree or disagree. And I think that's one of the pieces that we have to learn how to do. Just because I disagree with you don't mean that I have to leave the table. Just because I disagree with you don't mean that I have to take out a gun and shoot you. Just because I disagree with you don't mean that we have to fall out and fight. This is how we learn. I believe we learn by disagreeing because we can get a different perspective, different knowledge on how other people think. And so it's not about me being right all the time. It's not about you being right all the time. But what this is about is us coming to together a conscious understanding. The Bible says in all things, get an understanding. So once we understand, we can deal with things. We can work with each other more. And I think that the only way we're going to understand is that one has to talk, one has to listen, and then we can move forward. And so tomorrow night, is it tomorrow night or the night after that, we'll be having Aline, I think it's Thursday night, we'll be having the West Democratic Club show. So, Aline, I'm going to give you the last words to talk about the Black Summit here in Fresno, and then you can give our last words of going out.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody, because we saw a need and we felt we needed to do it, we are hosting the first annual Progressive Black Summit of the Central Valley, October 26th and 27th here in Fresno, California. It's going to be a two-day event. We're going to have panel discussions. We're going to have breakout sessions. We're going to have Q&As. And our keynote speaker is James Bell, who is the executive director of the Haywood Burns Institute in Oakland, California. He is a juvenile justice expert, internationally known. He is going to open our summit on October 26th. And Reverend Harris, Reverend Dr. Floyd Harris, is going to be giving our closing address on that Sunday. So if you get a chance and you want information about this, you can give me a call at 559-470-5172, or you can email progressiveblack98@gmail.com. That's progressiveblack98@gmail.com for more information. But we want to give a shout out to New Light Church, the first day location at 1106 West Woodward in Fresno. And the second day hosts Bitwise Industries at 700 Van Ness. So if you need more information, please give us a call or drop us a line through email. And as I like to say, and I always close out my show on Thursday, we want to say Ashe, Sankofa, reach back and fetch it, and stay black till we get back. All right.